Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you for taking time once again out of your busy life, out of your busy schedule, to join me on the broadcast. Today is Monday, May 4th, 2020. This is the day that my state, the state of Missouri, is supposed to start slowly, gradually but surely opening up businesses in the midst of this COVID crisis. And I pray that this will be the beginning of us awakening out of this pandemic. I have a question for you today, a very important question for you as a listener. What is your concept and your view of Jesus? Reason I'm asking that is ever since Jesus rose from the dead, triumphing over the grave more than 2,000 years ago, there have been unfavorable false teachings about his character, about his deity, about who he was. And for the first real four centuries of the early church, the church fathers, the pastors, the councils battled the heretics, fighting back and correcting the false teaching and the false doctrine that was taught about Christ. And today, with the cults, the New Age movement, and all kinds of philosophies, again, the false attacks about who Jesus is continues. And the only way we as Christians can combat that error is to firmly be rooted in what the scriptures teach about who Jesus is. And this morning, on the cross in the desert, I want to talk to you about a very important subject in relationship to who Jesus is. It is the supremacy and the sufficiency Christ. And our biblical text this morning is going to come from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading with you on verse 15. Paul writes, speaking of Christ, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on heaven or in earth, making peace by the blood of his cross. Chapter 2, verse number 3, about Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Very important biblical text this morning, because what Paul is writing here in Colossians chapter 1 and 2, and specifically in 3, which we're not going to talk about, he is facing head-on a heresy being taught among the members of the Church of Colossae by the Gnostics, a group that had this idea that there is a supreme secret knowledge about who Jesus is, and these Gnostics were diminishing the person of Jesus Christ. They were teaching that he is less than God himself, and that they're bringing him down off of his high and lofty throne in heaven and teaching that he is a created being, an emanation, and that by bringing this teaching into the church, they're upsetting many of the Colossians. The Colossian church was in Phrygia. It's a part of modern Turkey today. It's about 100 miles east Ephesus, in the region of the seven churches that are mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 1. So the Colossian city was a small city. It lay alongside the Lycus River, and it's a width of about 2 miles. It's small. It's narrow. And it was a thriving city back in the 5th century B.C. when the Persian king Xerxes was reigning. Some of the things made in that city were black wool and dyes. And these were important products. Now, Paul did not found this church. It was founded not by him, but by Epaphras. The Church of Colossae actually began during Paul's 3-year ministry at Ephesus. He had never been there. Epaphras, who apparently was saved during a visit by Paul to Ephesus, then likely was the one that started the church in Colossae. This is after Paul returned home. Now, I want to go right into what this problem in the Colossian church is, because it's very relevant to you and me today to have an important understanding of who Jesus is. Because when the scriptures teach that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh, this is a very essential, important truth to hold on to. Because as I mentioned in the beginning of the broadcast, there have been heretics, philosophies, and false teachers since Christ was resurrected from the dead that have taught that he was less than God, that he didn't have a full human physical body, and that he, when he came in the flesh, that he gave up his deity and was just a mere man anointed by the Spirit, or that he is an enlightened being. But every one of these heresies do their best to diminish the full teaching of the deity of Christ. Now, as I mentioned to you, Colossae, there was a group called the Gnostics. It was an early form of Gnosticism. It wasn't full-blown yet. And these groups of people would teach something about Jesus that was completely false, because the scripture says he's the creator of all things, and they taught that he was nothing more than an emanation. Now, Gnosticism taught that God as spirit was good, but that all matter was evil. And so therefore, God could not have created the universe and the earth and everything else, because that's evil. Matter is evil, and spirit is good. So Jesus is just an emanation, a created being descending from God. He's less than God. Now, the way that you understand that, according to Gnosticism, is you have to have this secret higher knowledge, which was above Scripture, which again refuted the revelation that the Apostle Paul was given. So they're attacking him as an apostle and attacking him as having true revelation from God. Now, the Colossian heresy also embraced aspects of what is known as Jewish legalism. In other words, the idea that you have to be circumcised for salvation. They also put an emphasis on the observance of ceremonial rituals of Old Testament law, dietary laws, festivals, Sabbaths. And they had a rigid asceticism, again, because spirit is the only thing good and the body is evil. And in this system of higher secret knowledge, they called for the worship of angels and mystical experiences. So therefore, Jesus really isn't anything more than an elevated angel. And so at the time that this was written, Epaphras was so concerned about this heresy in the church that he made a long journey from Colossae to Rome, where Paul was a prisoner at that time. And Paul, of course, deals with this subject. He begins in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, with a very important statement. He is wrestling head-on with his heresy. He says something about Jesus, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. In other words, he is the icon. He is the exact representation of God, like a stamp is. If you put stamp in hot wax and there's an imprint of that stamp, that is who Jesus is. In other words, Jesus is of the same essence of God the Father. Nothing more, nothing less. He is the image of the invisible God. Now, back as I read verses 15 through 20, we are seeing these very aspects of who Jesus is. He's the image of God. He's the firstborn over all creation. He's the creator of the universe. He is the head of the church, the firstborn from the dead, the fullness of God, the reconciler of all things. That's why King Jesus is the sovereign king of the world. He is superior. He is supreme over everything and everyone. Those seven descriptions says the supremacy of Christ teaches he's the image of God, the exact representation of his being. He has priority over all creation because he's the creator of all things. He antedated everything and everyone. He predated everything. He always eternally existence. He personally holds the universe together. He is the Lord of the church, the originator of the church by rising from the dead. So as the image of the invisible God, Jesus makes the invisible God visible. Remember what Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Very clear teaching. Jesus represents the Father like the picture on a dollar bill represents the president. If we have seen Jesus, we have seen the Father. Now, Jesus is not the person of the Father, but of the same essence of the Father. Modalism, a church heresy, teaches that Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all just titles of the one person, which is not true. They're distinct persons. I wanted to point that out to you. He is the express image of God. Since he is God, he reflects all that God is. He is the exact image of God. He doesn't resemble God. He represents God. He has all the essence of deity. He is sovereign, eternal, omniscient, omnipotent, never changing. He is God himself. And that's why Paul can say he is the image of the invisible God. He is the Son of God, the only person of the Trinity that is manifest to man. He is the revealer of the Trinity. God is perfectly seen in Christ. And what we can say just from that verse alone, how we can sum up what Paul is saying to the Colossian church, is that Jesus is the great, grand, and glorious theme of Scripture. He is supreme. He is both the center and the circumference of the Word of God. How do I know that? The Old Testament predicted his coming. The gospel announces that he came, and the remaining scriptures predict his coming again. If you took Jesus out of the Bible or diminished his deity and teach that he's a lesser being than God. You have a theme without a plot. You have music without harmony and a car without a motor. I'm just being very blunt. In this passage in Colossians, Jesus is set forth in all his towering superiority. He is absolutely unique, and he shares his glory with no man. It's very clear that when you read the scriptures, you really read who Jesus is. Now, he's called the firstborn of all creation, not because he's the first one born, Colossians 1:15, but that he is preeminent. Preeminent means that he is supreme. He holds a position of preeminence, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether there be thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him. This refutes the idea of the Gnostic heresy that Jesus himself is a created being, or that he's a separate being from God, or that he's an angel or an emanation. No, he's the creator of all things. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Paul goes on to set the grand statement of his supremacy by saying he is before everything, before all things, and in him all things hold together. That is, the very universe right now is being held together by the glue and the essence of who Jesus is. And importantly, he's the head of the body. What that means very clearly is that we don't need a pope. Our representative. He is the head of the church, the body, the firstborn from the dead, the preeminent resurrected Lord, that in everything he might be preeminent. Now, Paul also dealt with the idea of asceticism and rituals and things that the Gnostics were teaching that you had to attain to in order to be fully enlightened or saved. And so Paul makes it very clear here in Colossians chapter 2. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There is no secret knowledge apart from Christ. There is no special revelation that Gnostics were teaching. If you want to find everything you need, it is in Jesus, because in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then Paul moves on in verse 8 to a directly attack the practices of the Gnostics about the rituals, the asceticism, and the things they were teaching. He says, be very careful. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and ancient empty deceit according to human tradition. All of these rituals, this asceticism, these observances of new moon festivals and Sabbaths, he said, is not the word of God. It's philosophy. It's empty deceit. It's human in origin. It is not revealed by God. It's according to human tradition and not according to Christ. And then he sets forth the principle of how we know that. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Anyone that tells you that Jesus is less than God is a liar, for the scripture is very clear on who Jesus is. Every cult, every philosophy tries to bring Jesus down off his throne and teach that he was something lesser than God. This is, of course, the tactic of Satan himself. Every group, every cult, every world religion does that in their teachings. In Christ, all of the fullness of deity dwells bodily. And Paul goes on to say, and you have been filled in him. The Christian has everything that he or she needs in Christ. He is God. We have been buried with him through baptism, and we were raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God. Very clear that this is a very, very important aspect of our Christian faith. So we are not to be taken captive by vain deceit and philosophy. Paul says in verse 16, don't let anyone pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink. Now we're into the dietary laws. and he's attacking that. Or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, there are those that teach you must worship the true Sabbath is on Saturday, not Sunday. Paul is saying, no, these are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Christ is our Sabbath, not a certain day. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels. They go on in detail about visions. They're puffed up without reason, Paul says, by their sensuous mind. Have you ever listened to someone who claimed to have this angelic vision or this vision of heaven or this special insight? Watch out, Paul says. Don't listen to them. They go on in great detail about their supposed vision. They're puffed up, Paul said, without reason by their sensuous mind. Everything will be found in who Jesus is. Every rich treasure, every correct doctrine and teaching, all that you and I need is found in Christ because he is supreme. He is above all. And he is sufficient for our salvation. I want you to hear this beautiful worship hymn by Michael Smith, Michael W. Smith, Above All. Amen. What beautiful worship from Michael W. Smith. My friend Mary in the chat room says to me, my favorite song, and I agree, a beautiful hymn. It really is rich in meaning. It is exactly what I've been teaching on this morning. That's why I played it. Christ is supreme. He is above all. Like a rose trampled on the ground, he took the fall and thought of me above all. Wow. The beginning of the program, I asked you the question, what is your view of who Jesus is? Jesus himself, toward the end of his ministry, asked his own disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say Elijah, his disciples said. Some say John the Baptist. Jesus immediately stopped them and says, but who do you say that I am? And of course, Peter made the declaration, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is very important, a very important question that Jesus asked his disciples to see if they are going to go with the popular opinion of the day, or are they going to go with what God says about who Jesus is. And of course, Peter, revealed by God to him, gave the correct answer. You are the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This morning, we have learned who Jesus is. The scriptures teach that he is supreme, that he is above all, that he is our creator, that he is God manifested in the flesh, that he is the head of the church above all things. The universe is held together by Christ. This is who Jesus is. But what do you say? Human reason, philosophy, and cults will try to diminish the person of Christ. But as the Bible says, everything we need is in Christ. He is sufficient. He is supreme. He is Lord. This morning, I hope that you will come to the conclusion that what Scripture says is who Jesus is. And I hope that he becomes Lord and Savior of your life, that he becomes the supreme God in your life, because everything you and I need is found in Christ. I hope that you will take some time during this week to meditate on Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. In fact, the whole book is worthy of your attention. And learn everything you can about the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ. I want to thank you so much for spending time with me this morning on the broadcast. Thank you, Mary, for being such a diligent, faithful listener. God bless you. Have a great week, and I will see you once again on Thursday on the Cross in the Desert.